Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me here in the Allstate Skyline studio for this segment is Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies. Pat, thanks for joining me this morning.
Glad to be here. Good morning. Sorry about your shoulder, buddy.
Yeah, I figured you would come in and, you know, give me a lot of grief about it, because it's not like I have enough dull pain going on.
I thought it was an old guy thing. I didn't realize it was an actual injury. So
yeah,
now I
know.
Now I feel bad for all the comments I conjured in on the way up.
The old guy thing. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Well, I wanted to have you in because, as I said earlier, you were very much a staunch defender of Governor Bruce Rauner and during the reelection. And, you know, now we have the election. We have inauguration tomorrow. J.B. Pritzker, bigger Democratic majorities. And actually, I wanted to talk to you a couple of weeks ago and didn't get a chance to, about when Governor Bruce Rauner said that after the primary, which he narrowly defeated Jeannie Ives, that he went looking for people to replace him on the ballot. And I just found this kind of stunning. And one, I'm not sure what even making that concession public accomplished, but I thought it was, in essence, diminished what he was trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was an unfortunate comment, and I'm guessing that he would probably like to take that back. And it was in an interview with Craig Wall. It was almost kind of a throwaway question. And he went on a narrative and said that. And a lot of people like me and others that were fully invested in that campaign were a little disappointed that he would make that statement. Now, he kind of walked it back and said he was thinking that way because he wanted to win. And after the primary, with the conservative base of the party, he did have a lot of problems. Jeannie Ives lost by 3 points. So,
well, he found himself basically without a base in many respects, or trying to assemble a base.
Yeah, that was unfortunate because it got into more social issues and the fiscal issues. I think the 44 things that the governor was trying to get done, part of his reform agenda, a lot of the conservative base would have agreed with, but I think it got muddled with some of the other issues that came up during his time as governor. But again, it was unfortunate. I don't think that he probably would like to take that back, but he tried to explain it. But we can focus a lot on what happened in the last 4 years, but I think everybody's kind of trying to look forward now.
Well, I was curious what you thought of, for example, House Speaker Michael Madigan's address as he became speaker for, as I think Jim Durkin said, it's deja vu all over again.
Actually, Durkin got up and said the first couple of votes in the exit polls had him actually winning.
Yes, you're right. Well,
CNN called it for him, but it didn't work out.
I can't rely on that, but And let's face it, you know, here's Madigan. He's been speaker for all but 2 years since 1983.
And the year I graduated from college.
Well, in 1982 was my first year covering Springfield. So,
and we're not young.
You've already established my bona fides on that one. But you had the speaker come out and basically say, you know, after 4 years of personal attacks and those kinds of things, and basically saying, I'm still standing, you're not, to Bruce Rauner. And but the speaker saying, let's close this chapter and let's start a new one.
Yeah, it's about chapter 85 for him. But the point is, and I was there when he made that, and to me, when you win or lose, I think you need to be magnanimous and move on, win or lose. And the funny thing from listening to that was the applause lines he got there were not great in a Democratic crowd. And the biggest applause line of the entire ceremony, I thought, was when Jim Durkin got up and talked about fair maps, and on both sides. And there were more Democrats in this room than Republicans. So I thought those comments were, again, unfortunate and probably unnecessary. Why don't we just look forward and talk about what we're going to do rather than talking about the past? I don't think that made him look better. He could have talked about a lot of things that he didn't do, but you know that's what he chose to do.
Well, I mean, and it's one kind of couples with those TV ads that have been running, which I think are once again just kind of a not a very expensive way to just kind of try to poke in the eye.
Which, that's fine. That's politics, and we get the hardball nature of politics, but what purpose does that serve? The state has a lot of problems. We lost 45,000 people last year, $7.5 billion in debt, not a deficit. We're still running a deficit on our yearly budget. So, again, they're free to do what they want, but I'm not sure what purpose that serves or how that helps the people of the state.
We've got a call from Ron. Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, good morning. And Rick, first of all the best to you on Thursday.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Brick, you said everybody is ready just to move forward. As far as the Republican Party, what is moving forward now? Should they try to maintain the base, the conservative base, or after looking at these election results, are they going to be looking to appeal to what could be considered more moderate? So that's my question. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ron.
And that's a great question, but I think any elected official, Republic, Democrat, or independent, whatever, should focus on policy and not the next election. And I think if that's what you do, you focus on good public policy, you'll do fine at the ballot box. So I don't think that there needs to be a determination by anybody what they're going to appeal to get reelected. I think they should just focus on good, sound public policy.
But when you look at this Republican Party, and I mean, obviously from your time as chairman of the state party, but even long before that, this kind of constant kind of battling that went on between, I would say, the socially moderate and socially conservative wings. I don't think it was ever really a division that existed among fiscal conservatism at all, but more along the social lines. And that's been a chafing that has gone on from social conservatives for a long time. And, you know, let's face it, to be a successful statewide Republican in the state, when you go back to 1982 and Jim Thompson, even and Thompson was already in a couple of terms by that point, but that was the secret of success, to be a statewide elected Republican official. And that gave the social moderates control of the Republican Party. And then you had the Governor Rauner comes in, installs his people there, but also having to try to placate social conservatives over after the primary. And there's a kind of a question of, you know, where does the party go? And is there now a vacuum for social conservatives to try to assume control of the state GOP?
And then that's a good question, but let's take a couple things here. The Democrats are going to have the same problem, I think, in their caucus. They're much more, the House caucus, much more progressive.
I'm going to get to them.
Yeah. But the answer is this. We're a state that lost 45,000 people last year. The debt and deficit numbers I just talked about. I think to be successful, the Republicans need to focus on reform, a reform agenda. And the social issues of today, I think, are one of the social issues is property taxes. I pay more in property taxes in the western suburbs than I received in salary my first year out of law school. Property taxes, all the taxes we have in the state, why we can't provide social service, home values. There's an article in the Tribune a couple of weeks ago about a home in Barrington that sold for $100 a square foot. We're getting killed. So there are issues that we can focus on that both sides can agree on, and I think those are the social issues of today.
But obviously, you know, in the political world, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and they get all the attention.
But they don't get the votes. And the reality
is... But what changes that dynamic, though?
Focusing on those issues. Governor Rauner got in a trick bag with the social conservatives on a couple votes that I think were the right things to do. Maybe there was a compromise in there that might have kept some of the social conservatives happy, but I think some of the people, Jeannie Ives and some of the people, they were dying to run against him, and they got a reason, and they did. And unfortunately, after they lost, they didn't get on board with our nominee, and that's why Governor Rauner, the election turned out to a great extent the way it did. The reality is, once we get through the primaries, we got to unify. We just didn't do it this time. And a lot of it's because they weren't willing to do it.
But what's to stop that scenario? Not of having a governor, but what's to stop that scenario of that kind of battle taking place in the next go round in a Republican primary.
You know, I think a lot of it sounds simplistic as communication. I'm not sure if there was a lot of communication between, if you wanted to call it the divisions, the conservatives and the more moderates. I think the conservatives feel that they're left out in the discussions. I'm not sure if that's a fair criticism, but I've heard them say that. And the reality is we've got to have those communications and realize, and it's what I said. I did an event at the City Club in March, and I said, if we are not unified, it's going to be Governor Pritzker, and it's going to be a bloodbath, and that's what it turned out to be. So that's why we're in the position we're in. The reality is that the party should be there, in my opinion, to get our candidates elected and push our agenda.
But you also have that purity aspect that sometimes creates martyrs rather than elected officials.
Yeah, and the purity component, the Policy Institute lobbying wing and the other people that want the purity test. I saw one comment, they've raised and spent $50 million and never flipped a seat. So I think the communication aspect of it is we need to explain to people that when you lose every election, you don't get any of your agenda done. And I think that's part of the going forward what should be done. But again, I think you just focus on the issues, the things we agree on much more than we disagree. And if we focus on those issues going forward, I think we can be very successful. I've always believed, not some people don't agree with me on this, and I've traveled all over the state and lived all over the state, it's not a far left or far right state. Illinois is actually, if you go up and down the state, a fairly centrist state. So I think there's a lane there for compromise and getting an agenda through that will actually turn the state around.
We're speaking with Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Skyline studio by Pat Brady of Next Generation Strategies, former state Republican chairman. We were talking about the direction for this for the GOP in Illinois, but let's bring it more immediate here. As I spoke to Lou Lang earlier about the fact that you have Republican leaders, Jim Durkin in the House, Bill Brady in the Senate, kind of going into this new Democratic-dominated scene that we have in Illinois government, and actually expressing an optimistic tenure, and obviously
we got him right where we want him, Rick.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that worked out well. A Democratic governor, expanded majorities in the House and Senate. I thought it was more than just the traditional kind of honeymoon type of kumbaya kind of thing, that there really is a feeling and a belief here that they are going to get listened to.
Yeah, I think they believe that, and I think it's a product of the last 15 years where we've basically had a civil war, even within the Democrats, from Speaker Madigan and Rod Blagojevich, and the most recent being Governor Rauner and Speaker Madigan. I think that Leader Durkin and Leader Brady, I think, truly have a good relationship with the incoming governor and will have a voice. But the role of the Republicans is going to be, the governor's got a very aggressive agenda.
Yes, he does.
And we heard Lou Lang talk about, the first thing they talk about is revenue, which means taxes. So I think this idea of a progressive income tax, I'm not sure if that's going to sit well with any Republicans. On the marijuana legislation, I'm not sure where that's going to sit, but we can't overtax it, so it just keeps it on the street. So there are a lot of issues that are going to come up in this session where the Republicans will have a voice, and a necessary voice, because, you know, the Democrats aren't going to take these votes without Republicans being on the vote. So the Republicans
are going to have some influence.
Yeah, it is political cover, but the reality is that they do need Republican votes. And I think it's smart. I've never understood how you go through an election and then get done and continue to whine about the election. It's over. You lost. Now it's time to govern. The campaign is done. Now we need to govern. And I think Leader Durkin and Leader Brady are smart to say, hey, we want to work with the governor, but that doesn't mean we're going to compromise the principles that we believe in. But I hope they have a good working relationship. And I do believe that there is that center lane that I talked about before where we can get some things done and get the state moving forward. But for all the rainbows and unicorns talking about cooperation, we have some really tough very difficult issues that are going to have to be decided in this legislative session, dealing with taxes and reform and how we're going to move this state and get out of the hole we're in. And those are going to be tough votes.
Well, and part of me, you know, a lot of people talk about, and this was even true at the national level, about doing an infrastructure bill, and that was a good first kind of step, should be a good first step to do. But at the same time, there's so much dependent on getting that little bit of pork and having a project in your district, that to me it's almost like the last thing you should do at the end of session, because that could be the difference between passing something else that's on the agenda.
Yeah, and that's a good point. But the reality is, we're a bankrupt state. Now, you can't technically be bankrupt, but we technically are bankrupt, or legally bankrupt. So we have issues we need to deal with. A bankrupt company doesn't automatically go out and start
buying
a new jet. You got to fix what the problems you have now, and those are the tough votes. I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people support a capital bill because we need it, but how are we going to pay for it? A gas tax? All these taxes they're talking about, revenue means taxes. So that's going to be the debate, and the role of the Republicans will be to represent the taxpayers. It's amazing when you listen, as much as I love Lou Lang talking about revenues, but we never hear any talk now about reform, about reforming this government to make it more efficient so the taxpayers are getting as much bang for their buck as they can. And I think that will be the role of the Republicans.
Well, and as you touched on, I think property taxes are an essential issue. And I think that has become more and more the preeminent issue. But that opens up a whole issue of things such as, how do we fund our public education in Illinois, which is the bulk of the property tax bill, and the concept of using as I've said before, a 17th century measure of wealth to assess taxation to fund our public education. I mean, that's why we have quality schools determined by zip code.
Yeah, and the good news is we have a new assessor, which I think is going to bring some maybe more fairness to the assessment system here in Cook County. But it is a huge, complicated issue, and that's where the Republican voice needs and will be heard, so we can get some kind of compromise to move forward. But it that's the most difficult issue. But I did a lot of walking during the course of the campaign out in the western suburbs, and that is the number one issue.
And you have a number of new Democratic legislators who are from the western suburbs, the former Republican firewall.
Yep.
And I mean, with those majorities, including the 74 votes that Madigan is part of, sometimes those majorities, you know, well, that looks good, it's a veto-proof majority, but they don't work in lockstep.
No, and some of the seats they won, if they take the wrong vote relating to property taxes, that'll be their last vote, because that is the number one issue in the areas where they picked up seats.
Well, and I even wonder, as you mentioned, the graduated income tax.
That's progressive not, income tax.
Well, I call it by what it is, graduated income.
Well, the thing is, we can have that debate too, which I don't think you're ever going to get Republicans on. But
no,
if you're
going
to do that, why don't we amend the Constitution to change the way the can't diminish pension benefits clause in the Constitution? I mean, there are compromises there, but that's one where I think that the Republicans, that they have a tough sell getting Republicans on
Oh, and I agree, but I'm not sure that there's 71 Democrats either, despite the fact that this was kind of a hallmark of Pritzker's campaign, especially if you play the game, you don't know what the rates are.
And that was when you saw, I think, one downland state legislature proposed making the tax rates were just going to be absolutely ridiculous, particularly on low-income people. It was going to be ridiculous. So that debate, I don't think, should be front and center. That's just too complicated, and we have other things to focus on. I hope the governor and the Democrats focus on the reform issues first, because if we don't, we're really at a crisis, and we've been saying that for years, but I think after you saw last year, at least people leaving, we really are at a crisis.
That's Pat Brady. He's with Next Generation Strategies, former state Republican chairman. Thank you, as always, Pat.
Hey, I want to congratulate Greg Harris, too.
Oh.
That's a great pick by the speaker. He, like Lou Lang said, just a hardworking guy, and he represents a lot of good things, I think, for the state. So congrats to him.
Yes, to the new Democratic majority leader, Greg Harris.
Thanks, Rick.